This episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Audible. Get your free audiobook download and free 30-day trial by going to audibletrial.com/rolltohit.
I should probably mute that.
Oh.
What was that?
Cortana. What are you doing?
I don't know how she would have heard you.
Hey, Cortana. What's the command?
Hey, Cortana, but there's no mic hooked up to that now.
Chiggity check.
Microsoft's
1, 2, 1, 2.
To you the whole time.
Yep.
Maybe it's coming from this. Can you say hey Cortana or something?
Hey Cortana.
Yeah, it must be.
From the mics?
Or talk.
Oh, because the mics are going through the thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, but it from the Murtaugh. Oh, because the lights are going through this thing. Yeah, yeah.
That's what I said.
Lyrics to the Rascal song. Angel Fire.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Do it.
What up, nerds? Welcome to episode 44 of The Unwind, a weekly show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills.
So Gamescom came and went. And to be quite honest with you guys, I was a little bit disappointed. Like, I don't know what I was hoping for. Like, I guess I was hoping, E3 just happened, a month and a half ago?
Yeah.
If that.
Correct.
So, I don't know if I was just waiting for more announcements of games.
I watched Shenmue 4.
There were announcements from Xbox. Three new games that are coming out in 2016.
Yeah. Sony.
All new IP, too.
Okay. So Sony didn't have a presence at this, right?
Correct.
So, I thought that was... I don't know how far in advance they planned this or whatever, but, it's interesting because I thought they had a relatively weak E3 in that they just did not have anything to show for the rest of this year. So I was kind of hoping there would be something. I don't know. I guess I was just hoping for some big surprise. E3 was such, there was surprise after surprise.
Well, but I think the point you're missing is that E3 is the bigger one.
Yeah,
Gamescom,
you're right, you're right.
Although it's funny because Gamescom had the biggest turnout they've ever had. It's
well, Gamescom is for, it's like PAX. It's for consumers.
Yeah, yes. So you really, but they, I think the bigger thing they showed was all gameplay stuff.
Right.
So you get to which we didn't know anything with Quantum Break, Dark Souls, different things like that.
Yep.
You didn't, there was just no gameplay before. And I like seeing gameplay a lot.
Yeah.
Battlefront.
So the one game I think that that was somewhat of a surprise when I saw it and was Scalebound. Like, that game looks so freaking cool to me.
Yeah.
Where you just have a dragon companion that follows you around and it's just straight JRPG style. It kind of reminded me of Terra a little bit. It was action RPG and stuff like that. I don't know.
It'll probably be fun.
Pretty pumped for that, but I don't think it's coming out till holiday 2016.
Oh, and really? Goat Simulator?
No, I'm just God.
Just mess with
Goat Simulator 2. The
goatsiest. Anyway, I mean, was there anything
probably shouldn't say goatsy.
you got your Dark Souls 3 gameplay out of that, right?
I didn't watch the whole thing because it was such grainy quality. I don't think they released an official copy of it, so I'm holding back. But from what I saw, I really like it. I obviously love the series, but I was getting a little fatigued. But they sped it up a bit.
I thought you were saying you're tired of Dark Souls.
Well, in a way, clearly, if they're putting out a new game every year, that's...
You'll
that's
never get
silly.
Tired of Dark Souls, Sean.
That's not true at all. But I'll never get tired of talking about Dark Souls.
So I wanted to use this as a jump-off point. I don't really have a good transition for this. So I'm just going to go right into my topic. Earlier this week, it was announced or put out that Hearthstone, the free-to-play card game from Blizzard, pulls in about $20 million per month, which is ridiculous to me considering...
You actually got it wrong. It's 20 million gold. They actually paid themselves for the game currency.
You don't have to buy the game, right? There's no buy-in initially, and I've never spent a penny in that game of real world money. And I
think they're doing okay in spite of that.
What's crazy is you could still get all the cards. Like, you don't have to really buy anything. And all you can really buy from this is just booster packs. Like, I guess any other trading card game, or, you can unlock some of the levels with real money, but you can all do this by getting gold from doing the quest. It's completely optional. It just changes the speed at which you get things.
Yeah,
in the game.
And that's the best way to do free to play. Obviously, as you see, they can still make good money off of it, but it's not pay to win.
Right. So you have like a few different models now, right? And free to play is becoming, I think, a bigger and bigger chunk of this, especially in the last few years, right? So you have the subscription base, which is very quickly dying off. You have like only a handful of games that are still really holding on to this.
One of them made by Blizzard.
Yeah. So World of Warcraft, which actually has all three models in that you have to pay for the game and expansions and things. There's microtransactions in the game and you have to pay a subscription.
Yeah.
But then you have, you know, completely free to play games like League of Legends, which, in 2013 pulled in $624 million, which is pretty good again. Yeah. Considering it's just skins,
and again, that's
right?
not, yeah, it's not pay to win. You can get some, XP boost, but the XP, you top out at level 30. So yeah, level 30 really determines matter. How many runes and stuff like that you can use. And then you can get IP boosts, which, let you buy new heroes.
Yep.
But you know, there's always the free rotation and stuff like that. So, the main thing people pay for are skins.
Yeah. And a big push of this, in free to play gaming is the mobile market. And, I think for the first time, I think this last month or last quarter, the mobile side of Hearthstone actually made more than the PC wow. side, which is pretty crazy.
But it makes sense. I'm sure they're counting tablets with that too. And
sure.
And the phone app. I mean, the phone app came out, 2-3 months after the full release.
More than that, yeah. Oh, that's true. The full release. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder also how many people have it on both. I don't know.
I do, yeah.
But I guess, so you have a Surface, so you kind of have a mix. Oh, but
I have it on my desktop, too, but I primarily play it on my phone now.
Really?
Such a good job with the UI on the phone. Huh. But then you have, other mobile games like Candy Crush, which this might be a couple years old now, but there was an article that said it made $633,000 a day, which comes out to be about $20 million a month. So about the same.
Those games like, was it Game of War, the one that got promoted with Kate Upton, which I thought, I didn't know anyone playing it, but apparently it's making, I think, $1 million a day.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, like Clan of Wars supposedly makes a lot of
Boot
money.
Beach.
But the main thing about this is so... Hearthstone doesn't need to do nearly as much in advertising.
No.
Because games like Candy Crush, Boom Beach, etc., I mean, they have huge marketing costs.
Right.
So they're bringing in all that money, but it's not pure profit because they reinvest in getting new customers because their market is such that their user base is such that they burn out a lot of people. You know?
Yeah.
You have some of the whales basically who spend a lot of money and they've been doing it for a long time. But then you have some people who, hey, this is a new hot game. They spend, 10, 20, maybe $100 and then they get burnt out on it and move on. And so they've got to replace those people by marketing. A game like Hearthstone, I think, just based on the history of collectible card games before, it was digitized, They've got potentially, some people in it for the long haul.
And they've done a good job of it. I mean, I haven't kept up with Hearthstone, but everything I've heard have been positive about the expansions, how it
changed. Everyone has been really good, yeah.
Actually, it's funny you're talking about whales. What was the name of the game?
Marvel Puzzle Quest? Was it Marvel Puzzle Quest?
What was the game?
I'll only let you say that because it's free to play and that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Dark Souls? Path of Exile. Do you remember Path of Exile?
It's, yeah.
I don't want to say Diablo.
Diablo Quest.
Yeah.
So there was a GameSpot interview with the creator or whatever, and he had said the majority of their money comes from whales, and all of their microtransactions are cosmetic. So you would think they would do XP or something, but they said there are people who spend over $1,000 for the biggest package, and that's, you get a bunch of those, you can get a decent amount of revenue
yeah.
if you spend $1,000. And it's weird because the amount of money you can spend is technically unlimited because, once you spend $60 on a game, that is the end of the revenue stream.
Well, DLC and stuff, but yeah.
Well, so related to that, I think of Destiny. So I recently got Destiny for $20. So I was like, oh, this is a good deal. I'll just get it. This will be fun. But now every expansion, you kind of need that to get more content.
Right.
And the first two expansion packs are now $20 each. There's two. They're coming out with the Taken King coming out, and I think that's $40.
Yeah.
So you could already spend $80 in DLC. And Destiny's been out for a year.
I mean,
they could just keep going. So with adding all these things, potentially the revenue is
unlimited. Yeah, I mean, it's not a brand new model in that there's been expansion packs for a long, long time, and even DLC for a long time now. But you're getting to the point where, you know, the graphical engines are kind of topping out, and the game engine itself is topping out. So it's kind of like games as a platform, right? Or if you're if you're dealing with some of the free to play games, you don't need like crazy graphics. You just need
basically that.
So you have these games as a platform. There's always new interesting content where people go back in and re-up. They pay, you know, if it's on mobile, they're probably paying, you know, $5, $10, $20 a pop. And if it's DLC, like on a tier one console, then like you said, $20, $40
And I think, I mean, it's pretty clear most games end up adding some kind of RPG element, leveling, things like that. MMOs are extremely common to be free to play because you get the, even Warframe, first person shooter, they add, you know, you get a new sword or something like that. So adding those elements that gamify it and make people want to keep coming, I think really helps making it. And I, you know, it's funny thinking about this, I feel like it parallels the way startups work. It's all about getting users, because there's a lot of startup capital, because you got to build a game without revenue.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you really just get the user base and hopefully you can pull monetize out revenue. It sounds like games are doing better than a lot of startups, but it really is about
It's interesting because this model is relatively new. Like, it's only become really popular in the last, like, maybe, I don't know, a couple of years, for maybe 5 years, right? But it's already catching up in revenue to some of, like, the huge whales. Whales, we've kept saying that. But, like, the huge games, you know, that we've seen in the past. You know, like,
AAA games.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a handful of games, a little bit more than a few years ago, but, you know, that have passed that $1 billion mark in revenue. I mean, a lot, like, the COD games, like Grand Theft Auto. A lot of the Mario games on Wii or Mario Kart, but I mean, these are all catching up now, and it's interesting because a lot, like, even what was the purse for the international?
It's 18 million.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and you know, it's big for itself, but you compare that to actual sports, which people consider legitimate. Like, this is bigger than NASCAR. This is bigger than I mean, almost most sports, aside from, like, NFL teams, I'm sure get a lot more money and things like that. But you're, I mean, $20 million.
Yeah, there was one of the kids that won was, like, 16, wasn't he?
Oh, well, that's the other funny part. Yeah, they're all really young. Yeah. You know, even whatever, NFL players are fairly young. They're probably in their 20s, maybe in their 30s.
Yeah, but you have teenagers making, you know, winning $1 million plus for
I mean, literally, you're too old when you're in your mid-20s. I don't know why maybe your dexterity goes down. But
you have no idea the rigors, man.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Can't keep doping and all that other stuff.
But I don't know. And I don't think this model is going anywhere because some people don't like free to play because they hate microtransactions. But if you hate microtransactions,
it's funny because like
everybody's buying them.
Just to wrap this up, like, it's funny that I actually rarely pay anything in free to play games, but those are slowly taking over the types of games that I play.
Yeah.
Like, Hearthstone is now a big part of my repertoire of games that I go to frequently.
Yeah.
Like, Terror was another one that we play that was free to play. There was another one I just downloaded. I can't think of the name of it. But,
That's because you have gaming ADD. But
I do. No, but definitely. And it's easier for me to not
but
pay.
It does seem like Hearthstone has held your attention for a long time.
Yeah, I've been playing it since well before it came out officially. Yeah. So,
well, if it helps, I heard Shenmue was adding microtransactions. Basically, in the QTE events, you got to pay per punch.
I already paid $310 for that game, so I'm pretty much good. That makes up for all of the free-to-play games that I play.
Oh, man. Do you, just as a side note, do you feel like you should buy something in Hearthstone just because how much enjoyment you've gotten out of it? I mean, not that they're
I know. That's an interesting question. Like, I do feel like I should give back because, like,
don't feel that way. They're making
money
without
I like to support the people and the publishers and stuff that I you know, I like playing. And,
yeah.
You know, I pay for all the games that I play now. And, you know.
Keyword now.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, now.
Starting now.
Yeah. No, but like, since I've had a real job.
Have you,
like,
paid for Solitaire yet?
Or Candy Crush on your Windows 10.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You guys are terrible.
All right, moving on. Let's talk about a similar model. I want to talk about streaming music and kind of this freemium concept, or, you know, paid subscribers, that sort of thing. So it's been 5-6 weeks since Apple Music came out, and they announced some of their numbers. I think they have 11 million users. And so now, you know, you might ask, well, how much of that is paid and how much is free? Technically, they're all free right now because they're still in their three-month free using window, right? So we'll have to wait and see how many they get at the end of the 3 months free period, how many they add on when they throw out the Android app,
yep.
And then how many convert, right? That'll be the talk of the town is what's the conversion rate? Because if you look at Spotify, I think has about 75 million total users is what I looked up, and about 20 million of those pay, which is, that's pretty good.
It is. Although, you know, they've been around for a while, so
yep.
Being at 11 already is pretty solid. I'm really interested to see not only the third month how many paying subscribers, more fourth and fifth, because how many people are like, oh, I forgot to unsubscribe.
Yeah.
They do a good job. If you go into the app, you can tell it, I do not want to renew it after
yeah,
three
it's
months.
Very, very simple. So it's very fair, I think, the way they did it.
But you know there are going to be some people.
Sure.
I don't know how big, but...
And the other thing is, I suspect that if you forget and catch it, they'll prorate it, because they because I was using Beats Music before Apple Music got released, and I remember in one of the past episodes, I was kind of... speculating as to whether or not they would replace Beats Music, because they never came out and said that explicitly. So they did, and they prorated a refund for Beats Music on my account, on my my
That's
iTunes
nice.
Account. So I suspect that, you know, if you get in 2-3 weeks into the month and say, oh, yeah, why am I still paying for this? I'm pretty sure they'll prorate the refund.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
So Pandora, I couldn't get find... numbers for this year, and I couldn't find a breakout of paying versus free, but they said that last year they had about 82 million active users. I can't imagine all of those people are paid, though.
And their subscription's pretty low. I think, isn't it like $5 a month?
It's relatively cheap, but the other big difference is that, you know, it's streaming radio effectively. Because you can't say, I want to listen to this song right now, and after that, I want to listen to this other song. You can't make a playlist.
You're also forced ads in that, too. I don't know if Apple
is
the same way.
If you pay. Yeah.
No, but I'm saying
for
the
Pandora.
Free version of it, though, you're forced ads.
In Pandora.
Right.
Yeah,
so
correct.
it's not the same in Apple Music, though, right?
Well, Apple Music, so this part is unclear.
Oh,
so,
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So I think what Apple Music is going to do is when you sign up, you will have 3 months for free.
Okay.
But it's not just now until what? So it came out in...
Yeah, no. It's definitely 3 months free.
It's 3 months free when you activate your account.
So, and we should mention Beats One Radio is completely free. You don't have to have...
Correct.
I mean, you have to have an Apple account or something, but you don't...
Do they have ads on that?
I don't think so.
When I listen to it, no. Yeah, there
I think
no
they
ads.
Just have ads for their show, their other shows right now. So yeah, you know, Apple Music is never going to have a completely free ad-supported tier. It's meant to be subscription-based. So that'll be a different thing, and we'll see how that shakes out. But, you know, I'm liking it, and, you know, there's new UI stuff coming out to improve. Because if you remember, I said the UI was a little clunky and junky, which was unusual for Apple product, But yeah, I'm liking it right now.
I mean, yeah, the good thing about software is that you can update it. I mean, if they couldn't get the licensing or the agreements, that would be a much bigger deal. I haven't used it yet. I have an Android phone, so I've really only messed around with it on your phone. What I have spent time with is Beats One Radio, which I'm kind of down on. But
yeah,
you know, I don't see that as a huge thing because. You know, if I end up getting Apple Music, I don't have to listen to Beats One Radio.
Right.
You know, I can choose not to. So as a question of whether or not I would go to that service. So one problem I have is lock-in. I have so much of my music on Google Play Music.
Yeah. Yep.
That'd be difficult. And honestly, even from a just usability standpoint, I don't know what my advantages would be. They have all of the streaming services, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play Music, Xbox Music, they have similar library size. They're pretty much
similar,
the same.
But I mean, there are some significant exclusives here and there.
Sure.
So I feel like most mainstream stuff, for just general mainstream and even some indie stuff, Apple is probably going to be the better option most of the time. If you want some really, you know, obscure stuff, then, you know, maybe Spotify. It's going to be a mixed bag if you start to get to some of the more obscure indies. But for most of the mainstream stuff, even if it's kind of mainstream indie titles, it's going to be on Apple Music.
And, well, one thing I would say advantage that Apple and Google and Xbox have, I think Xbox has too, is you can still buy the track. Because no matter what, the biggest availability is going to be buying. You can buy on iTunes easily. Right. So that, I don't think Spotify is a locker service. No. Amazon does, but Amazon's service.
So Spotify will let you download to your mobile device and sync stuff that you already own. So you can play it. It'll play seamlessly in your Spotify playlist, but it's pulling it from your device. It's not a cloud locker. So it'll let you sync your songs onto your mobile device. So it takes up space on your device.
Which, at that point, I mean, the cloud aspect is pretty important. Or at least I found. Now, one thing that's helped me out a lot is that, I mean, I'm not... My phone, I honestly, nowadays, I don't think about my storage space that much. It's mostly, do I have enough storage for apps and photos?
Yeah.
Well, even photos I upload to the cloud. So at this point, music, it's helped out a lot because all my music is in the cloud, so I can switch between devices and not think about it.
Yeah. So the other thing is, you mentioned Beats One, which is their kind of radio station. I guess it came out and somebody dug up some of the contract language or the licensing language. Apparently, Apple has free range to do more stations. So there could be a Beats 2, Beats 3, et cetera. Yeah. So kind of like BBC 1, 2, et cetera. So they potentially could have, you know, whole genres. I mean, they kind of have like start your own stations and stations that are kind of genres. But those aren't, they don't have DJs, right? So it's kind of, like a Pandora substitute on Apple Music right now. But if the main thing about Beats One is that it is curated with a DJ and it's live. Mm. So if they did a Beats Two, like oldies or whatever, or alt rock or whatever, you know, college radio.
So do you know what the sharing's like? So like if we both subscribe to it, like what? I'm assuming you could share like playlists and things like that, right?
It's kind of broken. Well, if you both subscribe, because I sent you a share, right? Yep. And you said it didn't work.
It didn't work because it tried to open iTunes.
Yeah, so that was from an iTunes phone to an app to an Android phone. Yeah, and I sent you the same thing, and apparently you never clicked on it.
No, I did not.
I'm sure it would have worked for you because you have an iPhone.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't like Microsoft.
Sure.
I mean, it would just open up, I would think, Apple Music.
Yeah, I think if you have an updated phone and it's got Apple Music on it, the new Apple Music, it just works.
Is Apple Music automatically installed?
It's installed with the updates, but I do know some people who never update their phone.
I don't know.
Well, I'm wondering, is it a program that you can uninstall? Like the 45. Watch app, I don't think, the Watch app, I don't think you can uninstall, right? So no. Is Apple Music kind of like iTunes? It's permanent?
I think so.
Yeah.
So
it's part of the OS.
Yeah, sharing is definitely, I've heard the social aspect of Spotify is one thing that keeps it, like a lot of people like, being able to share what you're listening to and playlists. So right now, as far as I know, you can't share your own playlist. You can, there are curated playlists by their music experts and, of course, the other DJs. But as far as I know right now, you can't share your own playlist.
I'm pretty sure you can share playlists from Xbox Music, but I'm not sure exactly who can listen to it. But it's funny because someone... Because
you don't know anyone.
Well, no, I think it was on the Verge, but somebody shared a Dungeons & Dragons, like... It was like the music he listened to while he was doing D&D.
Yeah.
And he shared it as an Xbox Music playlist, which I, first of all, I thought was, like, ridiculous. I was like, I don't know how many people are going to get this, but I assume that anybody, like, anybody
can
listen to it.
It actually sends you a file that only Winamp can open, so you have to go back and...
So I assume that anybody could have listened to it. Like, that's why he had it on. But I don't know how you would access it if you didn't have Xbox.
I just sent Rob a shared a song with him. And so when you clicked on the link, what happened?
So
it opens
it
up in
the
iTunes.
iTunes, yeah.
The store, so you can buy
it. So I
can
buy the song, yeah.
Or, let's see, let me see.
Oh, because he doesn't have Apple. You never signed up for Apple Music,
No, I'm pretty sure I did.
So, yeah, you would think it would go to the song, right?
Maybe I didn't. I don't know. I didn't update my phone, so probably not.
He's one of those people.
No,
he's
I probably don't have it.
Let's see. Music. No, you didn't. The app color is wrong. You didn't.
Really? You didn't update your phone?
This guy, he's like older than 45,
this
apparently.
This is ridiculous.
The right drivers? I know my iPhone time is limited now. The Windows phone is going to come out with a new one.
Come back.
I'm not going.
So, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there. I think it's impressive. Yeah. It's a pretty fast rise. And the other thing I'll end with is I was sharing this with Rob. Apparently, some crazy stat. I think it was as high as 90%. It was somewhere between 80 and 90% of people who listen to podcasts on Apple, on iOS devices, so either iPad or iPhone, use the native podcast app.
That's crazy.
I do.
Rob does. Right? So, I mean, that just shows you the power of default on these devices. Yeah. Because there's
sheep,
lots
man.
Of
this phone turned me into a sheep.
There's lots of other good free podcatchers out there.
I don't think it's that bad.
You've never used another one, have you?
That's what I was actually saying. Is that
and how many historically do you subscribe it was? To?
Yeah,
I have all of our shows.
I use Pocket Casts because I used to use. I forgot the other one, and this one is way better. I don't even remember the names of all of them, but I've heard. Is it Overcast?
I use Overcast, yep.
And that one has a lot of unique features that no one else has, you know, the sound things. So.
The sound voice booster and stuff like that.
Getting to your point of, the power of...
So I mean, it's an interesting space. You know, other things like Tidal that got a lot of press hasn't taken off. Yep. And, you know, I think their CEO just stepped down.
To your point, too, it's the license... Like, Apple's going to have the licensing to bring on a huge library.
I mean, you know, Sean was close to right. I mean, what Sean said was pretty accurate. Like, for the most part, they're all comparable. There are a couple high profile ones where Apple wins out, but for the most part, they're comparable. And we'll see if default wins the day, apparently.
I'll let you know.
So let's transition to a new segment called the Change Up. And really, this is just a new name for things that we've done in the past. So usually,
we're going to talk about baseball, actually.
I'm going to throw my slider segment. And then the change up. And
if you want to watch all of us try to throw a baseball, which would probably be the funniest thing we've ever done.
So, you know, in the past we've done, so we usually do two topics and then something different, right? So we've done Super Fight in the past. We've done the question of the day. And recently we've been doing the audible question of the day. So we wanted to be able to have some flexibility with what we do in that transition period. So rather than calling it the question of the day and super fight time and all this other super stuff, we're just going to call it the change up, and we'll rotate what kind of thing we do for the change up. But we're always going to have a change up. So today's change up is Rob.
Well, I should say the change up is brought to you by Audible.
Okay.
So you can get your free audiobook download and free 30-day trial. It also helps us bring higher quality shows like The Unwind and our other D&D podcast, Roll the Hit.
And also a lot more shows.
Yeah, we're
soon.
Expanding our network.
Yeah.
We will now have 6 shows that cover everything from veganism to positive living, Dungeons and Dragons, the games, music and politics,
football,
soccer,
vegan
football.
Soccer. Yeah, we've got everything.
Football.
Man. So that's going to be coming at you under The Commentist. I feel like we should announce this now.
Oh, yeah, yes. Have we not
this is
yet?
It. We haven't
oh,
announced
yeah.
it. We gotta
yeah.
have
We've
a
been talking about
we gotta
it.
Gotta have
so
like
long.
A party episode. And just invite all the hosts. Like,
yeah, actually,
sure.
actually, a mega
that's
panel.
Should, yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Actually, that's a good idea. We should definitely do that. But anyway, so Josiah, are you listening to anything on Audible now?
Well, actually, the question is, what book have you read lately, or
oh,
what are you
cheating.
Reading?
You don't read.
It's just, come on now.
I'm just
okay,
playing.
Floor.
So I'm gonna.
He goes through like 8 books a week.
So I'm going to answer the actual change up question, which is, what are we reading right now? I want Rob to answer first.
I was really happy about this because I was on vacation a little while ago and I finally got around to reading Ready Player One, which is phenomenal. Like.
Really great.
It's just
is
really
it the greatest something you've ever read.
It's the greatest book about virtual reality that doesn't include Snow Crash.
Not me.
Very, very, very specific genres.
This is what I do. This is what I do. No, it was highly entertaining. I think they're making a movie, Steven Spielberg, right?
Yeah.
Relatively soon, next year. Like 2017, 2018.
Yeah, should be out
That's
soon.
That's so far away from me.
I'm a little scared. I'm not a big fan of Steven Spielberg lately. You know, I just.
I'm always
you know,
scared
if he,
of what,
if he, impress, if he produced it, I'd be okay. But if he's directing it, I get a little nervous.
I'm always scared of books that I read. Like Ender's Game. Ender's Game kind of like was a childhood favorite of mine. And
I thought the movie was okay.
It was all right. Anyway, so it was very entertaining. It has to do with video games, virtual reality, treasure hunting. It's got everything.
Yep.
Romance, crying,
it's basically our podcast.
Fighting.
Yeah.
Everything.
Aliens, giant robots.
Oh, it's amazing.
Dragons, wizards.
Yes, you gotta read it, man. It's good stuff. Oh, I also got it in Loot Crate, too. That was a good deal.
Oh, yeah.
Not that they're sponsoring us. But we can still talk about it.
If you're listening, Loot Crate.
So I wanted Rob to go first because the book that I am reading now is called Armada, and it's by Ernest Cline. It's his second book. So first book he wrote was called Ready Player
That's
One.
That's crazy. It was his first book, though.
Anyway. Yeah, it's kind of a runaway hit. So I'm reading Ernest Cline's second book called Armada, and
it's not the Navy.
Somebody is reading it to me, and it's the same somebody who read the first book. It's shucks, I just blanked. Wesley Crusher. Yeah, Will Wheaton. So Will Wheaton's reading it. And
better known as Wesley Crusher.
It's pretty fun. I'm maybe four chapters into it. And definitely you can see that, you know, some writers have themes that they revisit.
Yeah, sure.
Definitely there are themes that he likes to revisit.
Yeah.
Lots of pop culture references, music from the 80s and 90s.
he's pretty much video games. Obsessed with the 80s.
Yep. And characters that are obsessed with doing research about pop culture.
Does he reuse like the same songs and stuff?
No. So interesting you asked that. So I actually made a playlist for all the songs that he mentions in Ready Player One.
Oh, you got to share that with me.
And so that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing now. You need to upload.
All right. I will get it just for that.
So that's what I'm doing now as I go through Armada.
Got to make it an Xbox music.
So it's pretty fun. It's pretty interesting, but you know, it's, music. I'm a little, obviously I'm having fun with it, but, it's very referential and he's unabashedly referential to The Last Starfighter, to Ender's Game.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically talking about, you can read it in the book jacket cover, it's basically The Last Starfighter / Ender's Game where people are being trained to fly drones, Starship drones, by video games, and it's fighting a proxy war. I'm pretty sure that's where he's going.
Nice.
But it's a lot of fun and interesting characters. Both characters so far have had weird connections to an absent father. That's not a spoiler. It's stated pretty early in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty John interesting, Tater. Though. So, Sean.
It was the same Ready Player One, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like he's got this theme going.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's a streak of two, but yeah, a trend of two, rather.
There you go.
So, Sean, reading anything? Have you read anything ever?
I don't know much about books. I'm not much of a book reader. I guess the closest thing, they're putting out a movie documentary-ish about David Foster Wallace, and that makes me want to go back and actually read Infinite Jest. So I'm going to try it again. I started and then I just stopped because, I don't know, for whatever reason, I just stopped. So maybe I'll read that sometime soon.
Too many pages, really, not enough pictures.
Or you could get the audio book on
audio. Yes. I could. I wonder who would be saying it.
You'd have to find out.
Surprise. You could get it for free by going to...
You could. audibletrial.com/rollthehit.
Oh, okay. That's the main site, right? / roll to hit. That's like their index page. So everyone,
yes, everyone just has to go to audibletrial.com/roll to hit.
Don't judge me because I don't read.
All right. So let's move on to the last topic.
So there was some big news on the Google front. There's a new Moto G.
What's this company called? Google? I don't know. Google? I've never.
Was this like
rumored? Do you mean Alphabet?
I don't think anyone knew this was coming.
No, it was
out of nowhere. It was just like out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
So basically, they had a major reorganization. Basically, Google is now a wholly owned subsidiary of Alphabet, which is their larger parent company. And they've also done some changes in terms of management. So Sergey Brin is going to be the head of Alphabet. And the head of Google is going to be Sundar Pichai, the former head of Chrome and Android. And so now he's going to have that elevated role.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically the idea here is that they want to separate out their branches. They have very disparate branches because Google is kind of the company that tries to do everything. So Google... you know, will be still the same Google where they do, search, Android, all that, Chrome. But then they're also splitting off a separate area for Project X or Google X, where they do all their experimental stuff. There's also a different
section. Is that the car falls under X, or where's the car fall under?
I don't actually know. Let me see.
Do you know how many companies like Google has?
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. So this is kind of speculation from the Verge article about it. So they put it in alphabetical order, too. So Boston Dynamics, that's the robot company that they bought. I think that was based out of MIT. Calico, which is their
life sciences.
Yeah, their medical thing to extend life. I guess they have a capital investment firm.
Google Ventures is pretty big.
You could put Google Fiber out there by itself and maybe Google Fi.
I think Google Fiber and Nest are going under similar things.
Okay, and like you said, Nest. They have a separate life sciences one that's actually making hardware medical devices.
Yeah.
So Calico is just general science to extend life. And their life sciences, yeah.
Google sounds like such a company in the movie that's... Yeah. I mean, they have all our data.
They do everything.
They're extending life. Like,
yeah.
When are they going to take us
over? Live longer so you can pay us more money, I guess.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think those are the big ones that people would be familiar with. You know, there's YouTube, but I guess YouTube is still going to stay under Google because YouTube is a wholly owned subsidiary of Google.
It has its own CEO. And
right, I mean, why wouldn't that be one of them?
I don't know if they're just going to keep YouTube under Google or if they're going to break YouTube out separate from Google. I think they're both fairly profitable.
Yeah, and I think they are. The thing is how related are they? Calico is not at all related to Google, but you talk about YouTube, the search business, and even search algorithms, things. There are similarities.
Yeah, I think
so. Can you explain, like, what's the point of this?
So there's a couple things.
Well, I think there's some speculation as to what the point is. We can speculate.
That's what we're here for.
But it's I mean, it's pretty clear.
I do have a call scheduled with Sergey tomorrow. I could just tell you.
Just
but.
Poor timing.
But
couldn't do it before the show.
But next week we might have different topics. So I don't know.
Yeah, we'll never come back to it.
So one pretty obvious thing is Google is doing so many different things that the same kind of management doesn't always work. There are a lot of companies, though, that do a lot of different things. So it would not be impossible to manage these different kinds of things. But one idea is thinking maybe management could work separately if they separated out. The bigger thing was that when they hired their CFO, I'm pretty sure it was recently, she talked about cost cutting and different ways of doing the organization. And one thing is, there are a lot of organizations within Google that lose a lot of money. The search business is where they make all their money. And I think by putting Google on its own, it will make a lot more money and it'll look better to Wall Street, and they can kind of separate out their other branches and kind of push away all their failing business. I mean, failing because they don't care that it loses money, really.
Right.
And it's really important to appease Wall Street when you're a public company. So
yeah, there's got to be some tiny detail and nuance there, because I think this still the business model is going to be that the profits from Google pay into the larger part of Alphabet's pot of money, and then they redistribute it, kind of like the federal government or whatever.
Sure.
So it's like I said, there must be some nuance there with the way they file and with the SEC or whatever. And
well, actually, Wall Street hasn't heard of Alphabet yet, so they're not actually going to know.
Okay.
So it's just Google's just going to say, I don't know where the money went. But, from what I understand, it's mostly a money move, somewhat a management move. It's interesting too. It'll give the main guys who have led Google have been the Google founders I can't think of his name.
Eric Schmidt?
Yeah, Eric Schmidt. So it's interesting to see Sundar get a higher post and see how he...
No, I think that's part of the story, is that they wanted to give a nod to him, because they've had other people, high-profile people, leave. Marissa Meyer and Hugo... what's his name? He's at Xiaomi now and stuff like that. So, I think it's nice that they give a nod to him and make him CEO, and you can tell, it makes sense that they've been grooming him for this for a few years now.
There was a rumor that Twitter was looking at him and they wanted him, so this was their kind of way to keep him.
Yeah.
Although it does seem like a little bit of a stretch that they would reorganize the company.
Not just for him, but it was like a bonus. It just lined up and it worked. The other thing that I just kind of popped into my head is now that they've spun these other companies out, it might actually be easier for them to get investment for those companies and then eventually spin them out themselves.
I mean, there definitely is logic behind it. Google has always been, they try to do so many different things that it is a little ridiculous, especially because, you know, Apple, Microsoft, everybody has a lot of R&D labs, but they do keep a lot of it secret, whereas a lot of what Google does, they keep out in the open because, so you hear about these things. So having this and having a more sensible structure, I think works in their favor, even if it's just for money reasons or something else. Imagine if it wasn't a management reason. I think it makes sense because I don't know how they're all connected because I don't think they really are.
Yeah. And just more brainstorming here. I think, you know, something like Google Glass will probably fall under Nest, their hardware wing, and they won't have
Tony Fidel's leading it, so.
And they won't have to keep, you know, the Google branding or the Android branding, you know, because everybody's assuming like, oh, well, it'll be some flavor of either Google or Android, just like under Apple, it's going to be Apple or I something,
yeah,
or maybe Mac something. But in this case, they get to come up with new brands, and especially with the case of Google Glass, you know, they had such a perceived public failure. I don't think it was a failure outright, but you know, this perception that's really negative. So now they get to kind of rebrand themselves potentially, that sort of thing. I think it's interesting. The more I think about it, it sounds like originally it just sounded like a stupid move. Why would you want to get rid of
that name,
this golden brand, yeah, Google, and distribute stuff? But now that I think about it, it's actually kind of slick. It's a pretty smart deal.
You know, and, you know, it's funny since you're talking about names. The funny thing is they don't own Alphabet.com.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah. They don't own the Twitter handle Alphabet. So their website right now, which I think is actually a cool URL, but it's abc.xyz. So their domain is XYZ.
Yeah. And this is funny because I can't remember if it was Planet Money or I think it was Planet Money. Maybe it was Freakonomics, one of the economic podcasts I listened to. And they actually did a story about all the new domains when they came out.
Yeah.
You know, so they interviewed several people who were applying for new domains. They interviewed the guy who applied for .xyz. And they were like, what's the idea here? He's like, well, you know, it's like the end of the internet. It's what's left, XYZ, you know? And it's just funny. Like, this is a really going to be really high profile domain or ending with that guy's.
Well, related to that, the guy who has at Alphabet on Twitter, he had a tweet. He goes, well, that was an interesting end to a Monday. So he's just a guy. I don't know. I assume they're. Well, the interesting thing, so Alphabet.com is owned by BMW.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So that's a bigger company to contend with. Yeah. I assume they can get the Twitter handle.
That's
and,
so
you know,
funny.
I mean, it's possible they could go with Alphabet Inc., which I think is what they're using right now. So it's not impossible. And also, Alphabet isn't their consumer-facing angle. They're,
right. Correct.
Google is still that side. So it's really just the parent company. So
yeah,
they don't really have to have.
Yeah, it's basically going to be for investors and reporters who go there,
yeah,
and maybe just the interested tech geeks like us who maybe visit every once in a while. But
the more, I mean, it is what it is. Google just sounds like a bunch of big nerds with a lot of money. Like, I mean, you think about it, you have your new company and it's abc.xyz.
Yeah.
You know, your company, I don't know, like having all these extending your life, all these things. You have Boston Dynamics. It really just feels like,
it really does.
And whatever, not automatic cars, self-driving cars. It just really feels like nerds with a lot of money.
It's all the shit that like you wanted to do growing up.
Yeah,
it's like,
and
it's
just
that's
like,
what they're
well,
doing.
Let's buy it. Now we can do it. And let's just make
the good more news about this is that since we rebranded from Commentist Block to The Commentist, since they already have C companies, they don't have a T company yet. So technically, we're still in the running for that T spot. Just throwing that out there if anybody from Alphabet/Google is listening. But
yeah, but it'll be cool. I didn't get the Alphabet name. I don't know. I didn't read about it, but I do, since the way the Google logo has always been, I did always think of it in a weird way as like a set of letters. It felt, because each color was specific,
right,
it felt like it was G-O-O-G-L-E.
Like those letter blocks you have when you're a kid,
exactly,
the alphabet
it really,
blocks.
It
yeah
is. And I think their original logo was using that font that they usually use, I think. But, yeah, I mean, I don't... I don't know exactly what they're.
You know, I've sometimes talked down about Google. I don't want them to have all my information. I have several Google accounts. I don't use Google now, that sort of thing. But overall, they're really impressive, the type of work they're doing, some of the moonshots they've done historically. And so this is exciting. I think this gives them a pathway to continue doing that and potentially have more success. You know, if they're successful on some of these moonshots, we're talking these are world-changing yeah. events if they can get some of these things up and running, you know. So, yeah, more power to them.
I'm still mad at Google just because of the way that they handle accounts. Like when I go to Feedburner, if I'm not logged in to my Gmail, yeah. the same account, and then it kicks me off, like all this stuff. So
there's a solution to that, and I've told you several times, but
I don't know, man.
You're not doing it.
I don't know.
It's probably the.
Oh, I know.
I'm 45 years old.
You're just not doing old man over here.
I'm old man. Old man Stiller.
Google's probably the one company that needs account management more than anything, because I think it's one of the few places where pretty much everyone I know has at least more than one Google
yeah.
account,
yeah.
more
yeah.
than one Gmail. I mean. Google Docs, yeah, like that.
All right, so that's going to do it for this week's episode of The Unwind. Thank you so much for listening. Please subscribe to us on the iTunes and Stitcher. We will have videos up on YouTube soon enough. Please share us with your friends. Leave us some comments. You can submit questions and topics by going to thecommentist.com. That is our new home, or theunwind.audio, which will redirect to our new home. You can also find us, the three of us, and a few of our friends on our weekly Dungeons & Dragons podcast, Roll the Hit, which is coming back in a week or two, I think.
Yeah.
And,
new episodes, season two.
Yes. As we mentioned, we have a growing number of shows, so please check them out and give them your love as well. And we will see you next week.
You go. What the hell is that?